love you, and we're so humbled in your presence, Lord. We're so grateful, Father, that you say to come close to you, to come into your throne room, Lord, that we can come close to your throne and find grace and mercy in our time of need, Lord, that we can come confidently, knowing that you desire us to be there, Father. You desire us to be right with you, Lord God, right in your throne room, Father, right with your heart, Lord, right where you are working, Father, right where you are moving, Lord, right where you are loving, Lord. You want us to be there, right in the midst of it with you, Lord God. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you for taking us, Lord, on that journey. We thank you for taking us on the journey into your heart, Father, into understanding you, Lord, into seeing as you see and moving as you move, because you're beautiful, Lord. You're so beautiful. Everything you do is beautiful, Lord. Everything you do is holy. Everything you do is good, Father, and we want to be right in the middle of that, Lord. We just praise you for that this morning. We thank you. We're just here as lovers of you this morning. Thank you, Father, for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Father, for touching our hearts. Thank you, Father, for encouraging us, for strengthening us, Lord. Right now, Lord, I thank you, Father, that your presence moves through the room, Lord. I thank you that any burdens that we're carrying this morning, Father, we just lay them at your feet, Father. And we say, surround us, overtake us, overshadow us. Be our Father, be all we need. Have a good Father. The sun is shining. That always makes my day. So I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the kids. Back to, they have some exciting things to do today for Easter. So go have fun, kids, and be blessed. Is there any announcements you want to make while the kids are going? All right.
Hi. Hi, everybody. We have some exciting things coming up. And so on Tuesday, we've got our fire and wind service, 7 to 9 p.m. with soaking from 5 to 7. On Friday, we have our first Friday outreach in downtown Canton. We're going to be meeting at the McDonald's on the corner of Walnut and Tusk at 7 p.m. If you want to come out for that, it'll be a really awesome time of sharing God's love on the streets of Canton with everyone that we meet. Then on Sunday, we are kicking off our week of fire and incense, 24/7 worship and prayer. So that'll be going on Sunday through the following Saturday morning, Friday night, starting at 7 p.m. We'll have live worship with some visiting worship teams. So we won't have the worship every night of the week as we've done in past years, but there will be, the church will be open for worship and prayer the whole time, and then that Friday night from 7 p.m. until sometime Saturday morning, we'll have worship going through the night, so that'll be a lot of fun. And then we'll also be having healing rooms in the midst of that on Friday. So if you have someone that specifically wants healing prayer, they're welcome to come for that, and we will have a team available. Then Sunday is Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, so that'll be really fun. We do a breakfast in the morning starting at 9:30 a.m., and then our regular service will kick off at 10:30, but we'll also have a Kingdom Kids program during the service, so that'll be a really good time. Feel free to invite family and friends. Anyone is welcome to come to the breakfast. And then next day, Monday, April 17th, the Sunday and Monday night Holy Clubs will all be meeting here, 7 to 9 p.m. And then that Friday, April 21st, we will be doing a showing of Nefarious, which is an anti-human trafficking documentary. We showed a 20-minute clip of it yesterday at Freedom Cry, but we'll be showing the whole movie. So again, if you have anyone that you know that you think would be interested in finding out more about the problem of human trafficking here and around the world, the documentary is really, really good. Talks about things within our country and other overseas as well. So it's very impactful. It is at times graphic, so it's recommended for ages 18 and above. We don't recommend you bring your kids to this one. And I missed that on Sunday, April 9th after church. So next week after church, they'll be having Kingdom Kids practice. So if you can stay, it'll hopefully be really quick, and then you'll be able to take your kiddos for lunch after that. So, all right, that's everything. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor Mary Pat is going to be coming later, but we wanted to share about what happened yesterday at Freedom Cry. It was in a packed full day. We had a lot of people from the community and from churches and from our church, thank you, who came out yesterday for Freedom Cry. And it was, for those of you who may not be sure what we were talking about, it's a day to talk about human trafficking and the growing awareness that has been happening not only in the United States, but around the world. There's a growing awareness of, there's a large number of people who are trapped and enslaved and doing things against their will. And we here at Frontline have just felt the Lord calls us into that, stepping into that arena in various ways, both through what we have seen overseas and who we've partnered with, and knowing that being able to work with kids that are being saved out of that, and also knowing what we see around here in our own area and feeling the Lord calling us to step in and make a difference here. And so we were able yesterday to bring in leaders from the community. There was 11 speakers, including our pastor, so we had a lot going on during the day. But it was an amazing day, both for just learning more about the issue and learning more about how we can be involved in the issue, but also being able to invite the perspective of how the Lord is the one who's going to be overturning this, how he's going to be the one who's going to be making a difference. Because the speakers that we brought in, this is our third one, and they know who we are and what we stand for, and we've made it available that they are able to speak their faith and share their faith in their presentations. And that happened, you know, one after the other. It's not something we talked about beforehand, but they just felt the freedom to do that here. And so it's a mix of the substance of the social work side and the justice side and the police force and everyone working together, but also bringing in the compassion of the Lord and the understanding that he is the one who's going to bring freedom, that it's not us, it's not us that are going to overturn this problem, but it's him. And that was shown throughout the day, I believe. And so we want to share the video that we showing some of what Redemption for Life stands for and what we do. And so we can play that.
Voices. now is the time you can help.
Of these is love. Love never fails.
So when we are faced with everything that we saw and heard yesterday, sometimes the feelings or the realization of what's happening and all of that stirs up so much on the inside and so much compassion and also just feelings of, you know, God, how can this be turned around? How can this be changed? And I was just remembering this morning that when we were singing about being in his throne room, you know, how good he is, how holy he is, you know, just being a lover of his presence, and that's where we can enter into his presence and be working with him in seeing this problem overturned, that it's that anointing that comes from that time with him, that laid down, you know, heart before him, that lets him work through us to see this change. Because as Tanya was saying, you know, when things aren't okay, God wants to partner with us to see that changed. And I remember the Lord had given me a vision one time during worship. I just saw it was like in a mailbox, you know, like one of those mailboxes on a stick, and just an envelope in it. And I felt like, you know, opening the mailbox and getting the envelope, and the Lord was saying, you know, this is an invitation, you know, working in this area, doing this stuff, it's an invitation to learn how to love like I love. And, you know, that's, we all have had that invitation. Everybody who was here yesterday, you know, even you who weren't here yesterday but are a part of this body, and, you know, you're hearing it, you're seeing it, we're invited to learn how to love like he loves. And he loves the people that are the most broken, you know, the people that are in the spots where they are being abused, where they're being trafficked, where they're being enslaved. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. It says that in the Bible. And he loves to show up, and he loves to do things, and he loves to turn things around. And so it's not an easy thing that will cost us nothing. It does cost you something, but then again, to love like Jesus loved cost him something, and it's going to cost us something. But walking that journey with him and knowing, you know, okay, Lord, your eye is on this. Your eye is on these people. It's not a subject. It's not a topic. It's not a, you know, hot button issue. It's people. It's people involved in every aspect, from those who are being abused to their abusers to, you know, the system. It's all made up of people. And Lord, you want to come in, and as they said, you know, we can't just, rescuing is awesome, but, you know, we need to save people before they need rescued. Yes, that's true, and it has to be the Lord, you know, touching hearts all along the way, just restoring broken people in every aspect of this thing. And knowing that, you know, we cannot restore a broken person. I cannot restore a broken person, but yet the Lord, his anointing through us is going to be, is what frees people, is what changes people and changes hearts. And I love having Tanya Street here came and shared, and from her experience and seeing what the Lord has done in her life is just an example. And we've seen many people be set free, truly healed by the Lord, you know, that the person who's the most broken can be touched and healed and changed by his restoring power, because he's a restorer, and that's what he does. So yesterday it was just so encouraging to see people just speaking those truths out, and also in a helpful way, in a way of sharing with us what is happening around the county, you know, different organizations and things that are happening, where you can get involved, what you can do. And also a call went out to just take the next step, for each of us to take the next step, whether that's starting in our own hearts, getting our own hearts healed, embracing forgiveness in our own lives, that we're whole enough to be able to step out and reach out to someone, and then taking that step to look for who the Lord has put in our path, you know, who's the one that we can touch, and then beyond that, to how can I use my giftings, you know, in this area and in this issue. So I don't know if you had anything on your heart you wanted to share. Okay.
One of the things that came to my heart yesterday was that we hear the topic of terrorism, and, you know, it's a big topic the last few years in everything that we hear on the news. But this is personal terrorism. This is, you know, terrorism of a people that are trusting others, and then they're taken advantage of in most cases. And so human trafficking ends up much more close to home, because it can start with abuse, you know, in any household, and then extend into someone having those hurts in their life and so on, and believing lies from other people and being forced into things that they never intended for their life to be involved with. So it starts often with us just loving children. You know, we loving the children that come to Frontline, or the ones that we go out to the streets, or the ones in Brazil, or when we go overseas with our children in our children's home in India, and so on. It starts loving those children. Never think that your minutes, your time with children are, you know, well, they get a hug from everybody. They need as many hugs. They need as much encouragement. They need to be valued very young. And I think we do that here almost at times. They take over, and then we take back over, you know, with the start of what we're doing on Tuesday night. Sometimes, you know, they come in, and they kind of run around a little bit. Then we bring it back to a little more of, oh, this is about worship, a little more than running around. And we had a fire tunnel Tuesday night. If you missed that, the children were the ones doing the fire tunnel. If you've never seen a fire tunnel, the children stand on different sides of this aisle, and they just kind of put their hands out, and they were a little tentative the first time the adults went through because they're used to being the ones prayed for. But some of them warmed up to it, and the parents were there, you know, encouraging them, telling them what it's about. The people that were down in God Connect came in and, you know, encouraged them, and maybe there was some before they even came in here. And then the adults switched with the children. And I noticed the kids went through about 10 times. We need to, you know, maybe get that enthusiasm with the adults, because I'm singing on the stage, you know, about fire and saying, okay, adults, you can go through again, you can go through again. But you didn't have to say that to the kids. They went around and they went through again and they went around and went through again. Well, what's that say? The childlike heart is drawn to fire. The childlike heart enjoys fire. It's when we become adults that we kind of, you know, we're a little bit slower to, you know, kind of receive the fire. Yeah, we want it. Yeah, we want the fire. But really, I mean, you know, I've had the fire 25 times. Do I need it one more? Yes, you do. Yes, I do. All of us need the fire more and more. And from children praying for us, if you only knew what has happened in this building by children praying. I can remember a time that one of the first times we really activated the children, and I think Marita's here this morning. You know, remember that time when you had some kind of a respiratory thing or something, and one of the kids prayed for you, and it started to clear up right away, and other things were happening, things were popping. We've had children pray for 6 foot and above men, and they hit the floor in this building. That's something to see. I mean, when Pastor Mary Pat goes around, you know, and just kind of waves at your head and you go down, that's one thing. But when a child prays for an adult and they hit the floor, you know, they don't have a junior Holy Spirit. They don't have junior fire. They might not realize it, you know, how much God will flow through them, but they have the childlike heart to receive it so often. We can learn from their childlike heart. And so with human trafficking, obviously children are impacted a lot. And so we don't know what kinds of homes come in here, you know, say children from homes that come in, especially during the summer for, you know, the children's program we do in the summer, or people off the street that send their children here for Sunday morning for what we offer. Tuesday night, there may be more coming in for God Connect. And even in our own families, loving children is one way to combat human trafficking. And so we think, well, I don't do anything in this area. Yes, you do, every day. Any person that you reach out to, any person you tell Jesus about, it's not a separate issue, you know, that we have to work on human trafficking. No, we have to love people. We have to increase in ways to love people. And then we impact this issue because, like Rachel said, it's people that we're impacting. So it was just encouraging yesterday. The community came together. One of the speakers at the end kind of went around with the microphone to take ideas from people in the audience. And at first it was a little slow getting going, and he was wondering if it was a good idea after all. And then suddenly, boom, 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 people's ideas came out as that what they could do personally to impact the fight of human trafficking. And they came up with all kinds of ideas. In fact, it was great because we went over our time, and it was the people bringing up suggestions that we blamed it on, because they were bringing up so many suggestions. It was really great that worked out. But just be aware, even if you weren't here yesterday, be aware that there are people in desperate, desperate situations being taken advantage of many times, and you may have contact with them, and you think, well, I couldn't do that. I don't go onto the streets of Canton that often. You don't have to. You may be in contact with someone that you're totally unaware that they've been work trafficked or sex trafficked in some way, or abused in their past, and they need someone to love on them before they can actually trust to get that out and get it healed. So it'll happen. Watch. In the next month, you'll cross paths with some stranger, with some relative, and you'll get an indication in your spirit, wow, this person's in trouble, much deeper than what I would have ever imagined. And I can be used as an instrument by Jesus to help them. I can't do it, Lord, without you. But with you, I can have an impact on their life that could change a generation. Because if you change one life, it represents a generation. Some of us are pioneers in our families for Christianity, and we take it seriously because it's affecting our whole family and our generations after us. And as I said last week, that leaves a legacy. You want to leave a legacy on the earth. When I croak and go to heaven, I want people still saying, he lived for Jesus, he went after Jesus, and it impacted our family, it impacted many generations in our family or whatever. That's what we want to leave, is an impact for Jesus, a legacy. So you change one life, you can change a generation, you can change the legacy of a family. So, if you think that you're going to impact millions, it starts with one person, normally. You can't impact millions until you can impact one person. I used to do jail ministry, and the guys would all say, I want to go to a stadium, but they just fill a stadium with people, and I could tell them the dangers of drugs. And they said, well, have you told anybody in your family? Well, not yet. Have you told any of your friends that you were doing drugs with? Well, not yet. I want a stadium of strangers. And it doesn't work that way. Usually, we have to confront our fear of talking to people that know us the most and can see if we're real or not in what we're saying. And then when they're impacted, then it leads to larger and larger influence. So all of that to ramble on and give you back the mic.
Well, we also wanted to let some of you that were here share if there's anything the Lord put on your heart yesterday, if there's anything stirring in there that you wanted to share. I can do a Tim Brown. He was the one yesterday who passed the mic. He went to the youngest person. Who's the youngest? He went right there first. I'll let you think about that for a minute. Mike.
Just one thing that kind of stuck out to me in the morning was Michelle Cordova. I didn't really think of this before, but when she was listing off the different... Right. Well, it was interesting how, like, it's not, there's the crime of human trafficking, but there's also a lot of things that, like, rape, murder, there's, like, a whole list of things that people get arrested for and charged for, but aren't necessarily human trafficking. It's kind of like crossing over, but then when they look for the signs of, like, the one, I think it was her that shared about the one in Akron, where the person was brought to Canton, to the Canton Police Department. Basically, they were looking for specific signs, and they realized, oh, this isn't just a runaway, person that ran away. Yeah, that's what it was. It was a person who ran away, stole a car, came to Canton, and then the police, she was arrested, but then the police realized, wait a second, you're stealing a car, but this isn't the type of person that would do something like this. So then they realized, what's that? She didn't have any shoes on. So they realized this is kind of weird, and they dug into it and realized that she was a victim of, you know, running from a trafficker, exactly, but she stole a car and things like that. So it was just interesting being aware of things that you don't always think about. So so last year, right after Freedom Cry, Jamie and I took Tanya Street to the airport. And as we were driving on Wales, going up towards Uniontown, it was like right before getting into Uniontown, we noticed there were two young girls just walking by themselves. And it was kind of a cold day, and it's like, that's kind of weird, you know? And so, and feel free if you want to share any of the details. They were hitchhiking. So I noticed it, and then I told Jamie and Tanya, I said, that's kind of weird, you know, there's two girls hitchhiking back there. And so we ended up turning around, going back, and you might have to help me with the details on this.
I think it was just a divine intervention, having been the same day of Freedom Cry, that the Lord was prompted us because of everything we'd received that day. What we were kind of aware, our senses were aware, our eyes were aware, our heart was totally set ablaze after that day of hearing and being stirred up by the Lord. And so when we saw these two girls hitchhiking, not a good idea. I mean, they could have been picked up by anybody. So
and they were teenagers, like
yeah, I mean, like 14 and 16. And it was raining and, you know, being close to the highway and people coming on and off and that sort of thing, it just wasn't good. And so we felt led to go pick them up. And so Tanya was in the car with us because we were taking her back to the airport, but their story didn't really add up. So it was cool that she was in there with us because she had some very strong things to tell them. She turned around like a real mama's heart and was straight with them, like, this, you guys, you don't do this, and it was really good. We took them back home, and I just think even with that encouragement with the girls, that it was something that kind of was a little bit shocking that they had somebody kind of in their face and saying, like, what are you doing? Why are you walking down the road? You know, not knowing if they had that at home. And I think later on, I called the police department, so they were aware of that, and gave them a address. So I'm not really sure what happened, but it was just a divine intervention that took place.
I got in on the morning session, and there were two things that really impacted me. The police chief for Jackson Township, his testimony, and also one thing specifically that Tanya spoke about. And what impacted me listening to the chief of police here in our community was that he really broke it down to, this isn't just about finding people who are in difficult situations. I mean, he laid it out. These are people who are thrown out of their houses. Or he may have even said something like this, you know, today it's said that our kids are changing so much. But he said, no, our kids are not changing. We're changing the way we raise our kids. That hit me. There's this idea in society that says, hey, you know all the things that your parents wouldn't let you do, that you really wanted to do, but they wouldn't let you do it? hey, why don't we let our kids do those things so they don't miss out? He used those terms, so they don't miss out. I thought, oh my God, that is tragic, so they don't miss out. And the other thing was what Tanya said. There were multiple times when she had opportunities to come out of that lifestyle. People were there with her at different stages in life. But she said there was one moment, I believe, where she was arrested, and the agent was with her, and he said, why do you do this? And her response, I believe, was, because I love my pimp. And in that moment, he could have said, that's ludicrous. You know, he doesn't love you. And he could have broken it all down. But instead, he took a different route. And he said, you're not safe. And that hit her. I think about all the different situations that we have. Like, in our beautiful community, there's people being put in those situations every single day. I mean, we hear about them in the news, but we might have those little windows of time where we have an influence in somebody's life, whether it's on the side of the road or it's a friend's kid that we might know, or we might come across a troubled person. And I think what sets us apart as a community of faith is that we have an opportunity to step outside of the normal society that says, no, 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 you see something weird, leave it alone. Don't mess with that. They might erupt on you, and you might find yourself in a really bad situation. It's like customer service. Every now and then, these opportunities come across our email, and we look at them and go, oh, that's a fire waiting to be started right there. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. And so we're like, just wait for somebody else to take ownership of it. But effective customer service steps in and says, you know what? This might take me away for 30 minutes, maybe 45, or it might follow me, like Tiana knows, through the whole day. But what sets us apart as a community of faith is that we have eyes to see, and we have that little tiny discernment inside of us that says, if you take ownership of this, yeah, it might be with you for a while, but you might have a tremendous impact. Or it might be a very small window that you might be able to resolve this, but that's what sets us apart. We go, okay, you know what? Yeah, I recognize this might be really bad, but I'm going to step into it anyway. And whatever happens, happens. I'm going to be there available in whatever way I can.
So one of the illustrations that I quickly used yesterday was that all of these law enforcement and justice people and medical people were here yesterday, and basically, if you've seen on the news or in a television show, you know, the yellow tape around a crime scene. And, you know, the police are usually there saying, you know, don't cross this yellow tape, don't come in here, and so on. But the people who were here yesterday were saying, no, come on in. Come on into the crime scene and help us. We need help. We don't know what we're doing. We're learning every day. We're learning from every situation that comes up. Some of them have had dramatic changes in the way that they deal with people in arrests and so on with the human trafficking, you know, victim in front of them, rather than thinking of a prostitute as, well, you need to just be locked up and just throw away the key for a period of time. Maybe you'll come to your senses. They realize that this person's been victimized, and they've had a total change in the way that they even handle arrests and what they do and how they approach people. And they were willing to admit that. So they were sharing their hearts yesterday, and I think they like coming to Freedom Cry. They get a chance to share their hearts. They don't do the standard presentation. This is what we do in this situation when we run across this person. Here's the PowerPoint with the 12 things we look for, and then we take them through this process, and then, you know, the police chief does this, and the prosecuting attorney does this, and this does this, and so that we recognize, oh, this is the process. They couldn't just stick with that. They shared their heart. They felt their freedom to do that. And many of them are Christians, and so they were sharing their hearts with a mix of people. Some came in as Christians with a viewpoint that Jesus is the only one that can take care of this problem, and others came in, you know, as unbelievers, they didn't know, they thought this was a training session. One person heard worship at the registration table and said, what is this? I didn't know I was coming to a church thing, you know. And so there's a little bit of tension when the church is the one taking the lead. But we should expect that. But that person didn't stand up and speak. But several leaders of the community spoke their faith about Jesus. And what happens is that type of attitude kind of goes out the door. They don't know what to do when it's not just a standard secular meeting, but the heart is involved, and Jesus could be part of solving this problem. It's just kind of fun to see that tension between the world's way of solving problems and the real freedom that comes through Jesus. So they invited us into the crime scene. Normal, regular citizens like us, involved into the process. They gave out numbers. They said, take pictures of my slides. Take pictures of my cell phone. Call me. They trusted us to bring to them real things that we're able to see, like has been shared this morning. Things that we're going to see in the next month or two. There, you know, are we going to take that step? Some of us may have never called the police, never thought that was a good option. But when you're finding out that more and more in this county, in leadership, both the police chief of Jackson and the police chief of Canton are Christians. I mean, willing to say so, willing to speak it out. The detective that was here yesterday, a Christian, and willing to say so in his presentation. And Tanya Street, you know, the survivor, a Christian. And at the end, her and Pastor Mary Pat going back and forth about Jesus being the real solution with everything that Tanya shared yesterday. So there's a movement going on with the Christians becoming the head, not the tail, in Stark County. And our friend from Toledo, who is doing a lot with human trafficking up there, a lawyer up there, he just loves coming here. And he loves telling the people of Stark County, you don't know what you have here. They are collaborating, they're cooperating, they're willing to learn. They, you know, we're just getting started in certain places in Toledo, and you know, he's really done a lot, and they've done a lot of things up there, but they look at Stark County as the model. And those people are coming into this building of all the places in Stark County to meet and kind of, you know, continue the relationship between them in some cases. And then on task forces and so on that are starting up in Stark County. So be aware, when you see it in the news, you know, there are Christians leading some of this charge in this county. That's tremendous. And it's not just Christians that they say, oh yeah, I know Christ, but they're willing to say, I depend on him to give me the wisdom, especially in this area of sex trafficking and labor trafficking. I don't know what to do. I mean, you can look at the slides, but when you're faced with a real person in a real situation, you need the wisdom of God.
Yes, Lord. In lieu of that, and what God is doing in the realm of rescue and freedom and redemption, this week, earlier on in the week, Lou Engel, many of you know him, many of you may not know him, but he's the pioneer, the founder, director of The Call, which is an organization, well, a ministry that has just really been consecrated to fasting and prayer. And they've had numerous gatherings throughout this nation and abroad, and just gathering young hearts that are just burning for the Lord, wanting to see change, wanting to see transformation, wanting to see revival in the United States and in their schools and in campuses. So he's an amazing, amazing, amazing man. And recently this week, he was first in Columbus, Ohio on Tuesday night, and then Cleveland, Ohio on Wednesday night. And I know our pastors went to a leaders meeting, and Pastor Mary Pat was there Wednesday night, and I went as well. But he was totally, totally on fire, and really the anointing on him was very, very strong for what he was calling the state of Ohio to. And so we just have a short, I don't want to butcher it. We're just going to let him talk himself, just want to hear his heart, and then wanted to share what the Lord is doing in our Northeast Ohio and Cleveland this summer. So we can show that, Justin.
Sure. Into her place of intercession. She misses the whole purpose for which she was raised up. In other words, thank God for faithfulness. You need faithfulness. But in the fullness of time, when Daniel understands it's time for the jailbreak, he sets his face to fasting and prayer because God is looking for an intercessor to get his job done on earth when he's prevailing in heaven to bring it forth. God wants a great awakening in America, and And he's looking for people who have put their ear next to his heart to understand the times and seasons and what's got to be done right now. Wow. That was exhausting. Reload. I'd actually like to go and turn to the scriptures and preach to you for 3.5 hours. But one of my favorite scriptures is the story of Jacob. Homeless dude. He's a homeless dude running from his brother who wants to kill him. He's a mama's boy. He's a cheater. Welcome to the family that God's going to use to change the whole world. Man, that makes me happy. God is into dysfunctional families. It says he raised up a testimony out of Jacob. That's awesome. God will raise up a testimony out of a man who has no clue what he's doing. He's running for his life, and he lays his head on a stone one night, and suddenly heaven opens, and God speaks to him, and angels ascending and descending, and he says, Jacob, I want to tell you, the promises of God are on your life. That's so awesome, because nothing what you do, nothing that you have done, except for the fact that you have a spiritual hunger to receive the divine destiny that's written on his life. That was the difference between his brother Esau and Jacob. Jacob had a hunger in his heart, as messed up as he was. He had a hunger in his heart for spiritual reality and divine destiny. God met him in his hunger. It took him 20 years to beat the hell out of him. Sorry. For me, it's been about 45. No, try 65. Calls it, you know, it's a dream. He gets out of it and he says, out of the dream, he says, this is none other than the gate of heaven and the house of God. How awesome is this place? Well, I want to tell you, I feel like I've come back to Jacob's field. To Jacob's field. You see, I feel like I'm Jacob, swindler, and everything else. But no, I'm not a swindler, but I got my issues. But 7 generations ago, a mom and a dad fled religious persecution from Switzerland. 50 kids were on the ship sailing to Pennsylvania. They had one little boy. He's a 1-year-old boy. I've read my history. 50 kids were on that ship. 50 kids died. 49 died for a disease. One child lived. His name was Jacob Engel. And the mothers who lost their children gathered around Ann Engel and said, surely your son has a great destiny. He was the founder of the Brethren in Christ denomination in America. And I'm the 8th generation of preachers in that line. And I'm convinced that the call was raised up not because of me, not because of my prayers, but because of the prayers of generations that still weigh heavy on the scales of heaven for this nation. He's not done. He's going to give us a 3rd great awakening. He's just looking for some Jacobs who want and desire that spiritual destiny more than anything else. Jacob's field is right up there in Cleveland, and I feel like I'm coming to Jacob's field. And by the way, they call it the gateway. This is none other than the gate. Jacob's field is none other than the gate of heaven and the house of God. It's a gateway and a portal for revival. And I'll tell more about that. But I got saved in the Jesus movement in 1975. I went to a Christian college, Messiah College, Pennsylvania. Went to Christian college. I was anything but saved. But the gospel team put me on a hit list. Most wanted and least likely to be saved. Prayed for me for 3 years. Had to graduate from Christian college to get saved. Went home. Walked into the Jesus movement, the Shekinah glory, this singing in tongues, wrecked my world and set me on a course that would ever change me. And within 1 year after being converted, I came to Ashland, Ohio, to seminary, where all good boys go who want to be preachers. Thank you, Lord. And I went to Ashland Theological Seminary, hadn't a clue what I was doing, but I felt like I stepped into the field of dreams. One of the first dreams I ever had was I was actually leading a movement of revival among young kids. A Jesus movement broke out in Ashland, baptizing kids in the lake up there in Ashland. And every Friday night, we would meet with these kids, and it was heavenly days. And one afternoon, I took a nap. I was going to teach those kids the following day, and I took a nap, and I had a dream. And in the dream, I was teaching these kids. And in the dream, I opened my mouth to teach, and nothing came out. And instead, the kids started singing that song, I Exalt Thee. It was the song that just came out in 1977, 40 years right now, when I put my foot in Ashland, Ohio, folks. I'm just putting it together. See, you got to be a student of your own story. You got to know your journey. You see, the same Bethel that Jacob went to, and then 20 years later, God brings him back to Bethel to fulfill a vow that he made 20 years before. This is stunning. Why don't we see ourselves in the same kind of storyline? That if he did it with Jacob, and he calls me back to my Bethel 20 years later, to my Jacob's field, maybe it's as significant as Jacob.
There's more.
And sometimes you have to stick with it for 30 years. But you stick with it until the inner cities are swept with the greatest revival, like William Seymour. I refuse to think that there's not hope for this. Give us some evangelists out of Ohio that have been baptized with fire. Come on. The issue's not Haman. God has already prepared an Esther way before Haman arose. Question is whether Esther is willing to die for the fulfillment of the reason she's been brought into the kingdom. You got to move beyond self-preservation. It's time to take responsibility for the call that's on your life. Well, I took on that call, daring to believe for revival. And I'm believing for the healing of the races. I'm believing for the ending of abortion. I'm believing for it. I don't know how it could happen. It's impossible. But when earth invokes heaven, they invoke the realm of possibles. And suddenly all bets are off because heaven invades the present when earth invades heaven with intercession. The supreme vocation is the prophetic intercessor that no preachers ever hear, but heaven hears their preaching because they're known at the throne. Rather be known at the throne than known by men. Because if you're known at the throne, you can move heaven, and heaven can move men. Give us intercessors over the next 4 months that will give themselves daring to believe that the revival man for America will awaken in Ohio. It all comes down to this. In many of these years of journeying, we feel we've come to a very significant defining moment, and it is Ohio. Bob Jones, a prophet, had this word given to us that there are eagles that fly in the heavens and see the heavenly visions, but unless you have the wild geese flying in V formation, breaking through the principalities and the powers, the dream and the vision of the prophet will not be manifested. And he said, Lou, the call is the honkers. That's your tribe. And we've taken up our call, and I don't have time to go into it, to pray his prophecies. I don't know what year it was. I think it was 40 years ago. He prophesied, right? I think it was 40 years ago he prophesied. I remember it was 38 in the dream, but that was 2005. Bummer. Anyway, good enough. Yes, the giant has been tied down since 67. That's Jubilee year right now. 67 was when the Jesus movement began. It's when the charismatic movement began. It was also when Israel became a nation. Folks, something, we're in a 70-year period to give birth to something right now. We're like in Daniel's 70. If you don't understand how God doesn't just haphazardly crash through history. He has his times. He works in seasons. 70s and 40s and cycles of 50s. And the job of the prophetic intercessor is to hear not just what he's doing in the future, but to know what he's trying to do right now so that he can set his face like Daniel and birth what he's doing right now in this present moment. Years ago, I had a dream. 2009, I was going into a 40-day water fast out in the woods with my friends, and I had a dream right before I went out that my belly was being operated on. I woke up and it said, God, are you making me a Daniel operating on my appetites so that I could fast and pray to shift the destiny of nations? Went into that fast. In the middle of the fast, prophet intercessor lady emails me, says, I had a dream. I had a dream that you were sleeping and you were fasting, and five angels came into your bedroom. And they operated on your belly. And they took the book of Daniel, lit it on fire, and sealed it into your belly. And then all these kids came to you in the dream with t-shirts that said the Sons of Thunder. Folks, I believe there's a new movement of worship, evangelism, that's going to reap a harvest better than the Beatles. That was a prophecy given by James Ryle. I am praying that prophet, 70,000 people 10 years ago gathered in Nashville to pray. Raise up the musicians who are playing behind the curtain. They're not looking for a stage or a name. They want God. And when God opens the curtain, they will begin to be tapped into the Beatles' ancient Vox amplifier. And souls will be saved by the thousands. Come on, let's pray those kinds of visions. Let's pray for the Sons of Thunder to arise. And in fact, on the 10th anniversary of the gathering in Nashville, where we prayed for the 1967 Jesus movement to come forth, now 10 years later on the Jubilee, they're holding Sons of Thunder gatherings, worship in San Francisco and Golden Gate Park. They're daring to believe that the sound is coming. Come on. You can go to the sound. It's called the sound. You can go to and find out about it. I'm going. Are you going to San Francisco? I am. Some of you guys remember those days. You old dudes. But your old dudes will dream dreams and see visions. My translation. Bob Jones prophesied that the revival man in awakening would be like gold in America. And it would be like Gulliver. The guy, the giant, the church, tied down by small men and small visions. This is a time to dream outrageously. This is the power of the dream. The dream invades your small little world and gives you a glimpse of what's possible. And he said he saw the head was in Cleveland. His left hand was in Philadelphia. His right hand was in Indianapolis. We just had an incredible dream of Indianapolis. In the dream in Indianapolis, when the hand broke the bonds in Indianapolis. Yeah. I love that. I was on a 40-day fast in 1996, launched a 24-hour house of prayer. We were launching house of prayer way back then, 1996. And during that fast, I heard the audible voice of God saying, "Stretch forth a awakening rod over the earth. Will you do that?" I woke up and said, "Yes, sir. What's awakening rod?" I want to tell you, I believe the awakening rod is in Ohio right now. Because the awakening, it said its head would first awaken in Cleveland. And the heart would be in Columbus. And the reproductive organs would be in Cincinnati. Three of the cities he saw in Colorado. Something's going on with the state that's formed like a heart. Something's going on with the heartbeat bill that wants to end abortion and send revival to America. There's something going on of a stirring that literally could be the breaker anointing for every state to begin to limit abortion and to release awakenings, revival, adoption movements, care for pregnant mothers. Folks, the church has got to be prepared to be the answer for the thing they're praying against. It's time the church takes up its calling. But a head would first awaken in Cleveland. Its feet would be in Charlotte and Nashville. And when it stood up in Atlanta, the South would be swept with a great revival. Now, I don't know what all this means. And it sounds at times like, is this really you? Anybody ask those kinds of questions? Well, the fact is, we ultimately don't fully know how it unfolds when we obey the word of God. But we do know this, that God loves faith. He gives us a glimpse. We don't bank our lives on dreams, but he gives us a glimpse. And if we move toward them, we actually find them framing the future of nations. Listen, a book was given to me 35 years ago called Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting by a man named Derek Prince. I fasted for 35 years, every day on water for the rest. Just kidding. That's a myth. All kinds of myths are built up around. I've broken more fasts than you all. You can imagine. I'm a fasting schizophrenic. To fast or not to fast, that is the question. Honey, I'm fasting today. What do you want for breakfast? This prophetic word, Bob Jones said, you guys are the hunkers. We feel the time is set. Something has shifted in America. Right now we have a window. Something has opened up. When witches worldwide curse President Trump, and I'm not saying you got to like him. I'm simply saying when witches worldwide rise up to curse him, you've got to ask the question, what about that man stands in such a place of significance that devils all over the world are raging against him? I don't fully understand the man. All I know is this. He shut down the gears of an antichrist system that's been running to try to take America out. God wants to make America great again. She must have a great awakening. And all the pointers are saying, Ohio is the hinge place. The head awakens in Cleveland. And if the church understands it, she moves with him now with fasting and prayer to shift it into the future. Oh, God, lift your hands. Let's stand together. God, we call upon you. God, loose the awakening
man in
Cleveland.
Let's just stand with this impartation.
Open the heart in Columbus, God. End abortion. Send revival to America. Heal the race issue. Do something in our day that will surprise devils and angels in Jesus' name, God. Right now, brothers and sisters, we're coming on July the 22nd and the 23rd. We're going to Cavaliers Arena, where everything shifted in the natural. I knew Cleveland in my days as the mistake on the lake, but nobody says it anymore because the curse has been broken. Why not on the church? Why not the church? Why not the church getting the king? Not James, but the king. Brother had a dream. In the dream, it was in Cleveland State Arena. It was in Cleveland Arena. They were losing by 1 point. He was inbounding the ball, had 1 second to score, threw the ball in, thinking that somebody would get it and try to score in 1 second. Instead, it swished through the hoop, and pandemonium broke out, and they called it the shot that was heard around the world. When he heard me talk about Cleveland, and we're going to the Cavalier, he felt the Lord say, something's going to happen in Cleveland that will be a shot heard around the world. I don't fully know, but I'm daring to believe and stepping forward. This is what needs to happen. On July the 4th, the evening after the evening of July the 4th, after the firecrackers, we are calling all of Ohio, every person, every church into 17 days of fasting right up to the 22nd. I don't want to go into another call without my Jesse. Without my Jesse breaking through and preparing the way. I want to believe that there are people who have faith in Ohio. People that dare to believe the prophets. And if they don't see it right away, they won't get discouraged, because God is faithful to fulfill what he's spoken, even if it takes generations to turn it. This is what we're committed to, the faithfulness of God. 17 days of fasting, and then at 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock that night in the Cleveland Cavaliers Arena, we are daring to believe the awakening man will stand. The following day, for 8 hours, we're going to hold gatherings again the second day in the Cleveland, with worship, praying for signs and wonders. Invite your people to come who don't know Jesus. Invite every sick person. Let's dare to believe for miracles to take place. Let's dare to believe it. Folks, I got nothing else. I got a spirit of faith on my heart. I look at my own soul, my own battles, failures and difficulties and challenges on every side. But I look at God who keeps covenant. I end my time tonight saying he is a faithful God who keeps covenant. Once he's locked on to a people, he's not going to easily let him go. Years ago in the 90s, in the days of revival, I was invited to a youth church up in California somewhere. I had not ever been there, didn't know who they were. And I came to that meeting, all young people, and the Lord gave me the word for the day. And this was the word. I didn't share it. He said to me, I'm going to show mercy to the youth of America because of the great, 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 great grandchildren of Jonathan Edwards, the father of the first great awakening. And just like God, David remembered his covenant with Jonathan and showed mercy to a crippled generation. He's going to show mercy to a crippled generation in America. God. I told nobody what I was going to share on. In the break, before I got up, some kid walks up to me out of nowhere and says, hey, Mr. Engel. I say, yeah, guess what? What? I found out this week I'm the great, 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 great grandson of Jonathan Edwards. And I haven't stopped praying it for years, that God holds a covenant over America. He remembers my Jacob Engel. He remembers the generations of prayer, and he will answer the cries of his people. Father, I right now, Lord, I bring an ordination to this company here. We've all sat under an anointing that's beyond what's going on here. I could feel it. There's words going forth filled with faith. I pray, God, release this faith of breakthrough in Jesus' name. Release the intercessors to be known at the throne, that for the next 4 months, they're praying day after day. Awaken the revival man in America, in Cleveland. Father, I pray, God, for dreams and visions. I pray that the pastors would be stirred. God, I pray that the whole state of Ohio would be swept into the great dream of God. That everywhere men and women are laying hold of this in the name of Jesus. Lord, loose a shot that's heard around the world in Jesus' name.
Who are you stirred? I don't know how you can be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in our body, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're calling frontline to the front lines, Father. In this hour, God, Lord, that you're awakening your bride. You're awakening your bride, Lord. Oh, there's a cost, God. There's a cost, Lord, but it's so worth it for you, Jesus. It's so worth it, Lord, to carry this vision, Lord, that the awakening would come in Cleveland, Ohio, Father, that we would respond. We would respond to the call, Father. We would respond to the call, Lord. We would lay aside our schedules, Father. We would lay aside the things, Father, that we hold on to, God, to grab a hold of what you are doing in the heavenlies, Father. Lord, we just choose to fast. We choose to lay our lives down, God. We choose to humble ourselves under a mighty God. Under a mighty God, we humble ourselves, Lord. In this hour, we were created for such a time as this, Lord. So we will behold the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. We are called. We are called. We are called. We are called to invade, God, invade with fasting and prayer and evangelism and worship, God. This is the DNA of Frontline, God. It's been the DNA for over 2 decades, Father. And now is the time. Now is the time, Lord. So just lift your hands up. Lift your hands up just as an activation. I believe what Lou was saying, it wasn't just for Tuesday night or Wednesday night. This is for us here this morning. We are so a part of this, you guys. We are so a part of this. We are linked in hearts with this vision, what God is doing. It's not just Cleveland. It's Northeast Ohio. It's from Cleveland all the way down to Cincinnati. And we are saying yes in this body. We are saying yes and amen in this body. So just raise your hands to heaven. Let the Lord see you. Let the Lord see you and say yes. Say yes. Say yes to him. Say yes to what he's doing in our families, in our community, in human trafficking for abortion. We are going to see an end. We are going to see revival in the land. We are going to see our God, our faithful Jehovah Rapha God, Jehovah Mapalti God, come and deliver this nation. Come and deliver this nation from all wickedness and all evil and all sin. And we're going to see the bride arise in this hour, the beautiful radiant bride, the beautiful radiant bride who will behold her King, who will behold her King and conform to the image of Christ, the Lamb slain. The Lamb slain is the image of Christ that we're beholding holding and we're conforming to. Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? How will you humble yourself and fast and pray and do what the Lord is saying to do? Will you link arms? Will you obey? Will you obey? Will you have faith and obey? That's what he's saying to us. That's what he's saying to us. Don't look to the right or the left. Have the Lord look on the inside of you and say, what does this mean for me? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And he will speak to you because he is faithful. And he's not silent. Our God is not being silent in this hour. He is speaking. He is speaking. He's speaking to the Nazarite hearts. He is speaking to the Nazarite hearts who will be consecrated to him. The ones who will be consecrated to him in his ways. And his ways. And his ways in all things. His ways in all things. So Lord, we offer ourselves to you right now. We offer ourselves to you. We lay our lives down on the altar once again. As Pastor Bill said, you cannot ask for the fire just 10 times. There's always more. There's always more. So we ask for the baptism of fire, for new wineskins, for those of us who have old stinky ones, God. Oh, that those things would just shake off. They would just shake off of us, Lord. Father, thank you that you are reminding us of the days of our youth when we made vows to you, God. When we made vows to you, what were those vows that we made to Jesus? He is faithful to the promises that he's given us. He's faithful to those things. And what you spoke to him, he remembers every word. He remembers it. So what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? He remembers every word. So Father, we offer ourselves. We offer ourselves once again. This is not just a hype moment. It's not. This is the Spirit of God. And we are responding to that. Just because we're going over the time today on Sunday, it doesn't mean it anything, God. Who cares? We're responding to the Spirit of God this morning. And you are above all things. You're above time. You're above our schedules, Lord God, because you are exalted and you are high above everything, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to lift your voices. Don't be shy. Just begin to lift your voices to him in adoration and praise and tell him, Lord, I give you everything. I give you everything, Lord. Lord. I give you my summer. I give you this time of fasting, God. I commit myself. Let him tell you what that'll look like, but it doesn't mean that you're going to sit on the sidelines. You're going to be a part of it. So offer yourself from now until we have weeks of prayer. We have all night watches of the Lord. We have things that we're preparing. We're doing here in Northeast, in Canton, Ohio, in Jackson Township. We're mobilizing here in this region with other churches around. So we have to do something. You're not going to sit on the sidelines. We are all here for a reason and a purpose, and he's using us. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Just stay in that state of prayer. Keep your hands in the air. And if you're not feeling the Spirit of God moving powerfully, just say to him, wake me up, because he's here. I just walked in the door. It's not about Jamie praying a good prayer. It's about the Spirit of God. I just walked in the door. So if you're not sensing that, call it what you want. Just say, wake me up, because he wants to wake us up right now in a deeper way. And what she said is true. What he's doing in Ohio is true. And we heard a call on Wednesday night that was so powerful and so strong, and we heard it from a leader in this nation that said, wake up church, wake up leaders, wake up body of Christ. So ask him, wake me up, so I'm in tandem with you completely. Just wake me up, Jesus, in a deeper way. Holy Spirit, keep coming, keep falling. It's not about a person, it's not about a messenger. This is about you. This is about the revival that decades of people have given their lives for, generations have given their lives for, and you're doing it, Lord. You're waking up the giant, and it's starting with us. We happen to live here. We have been born for such a time as this. We have been called for such a time as this. We are the ones. This is our generation, and we are the ones who are going to say yes and amen. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing with Azusa now. We thank you, Lord God. This is not an emotional plea. This is the Spirit of God. I echo that. This is the generational Spirit of God. It's coming to build the legacy. Can you see it? Can you see it? With spiritual generations being represented here. Step in and say, yes, Lord. Count me in. Count me in. It's not about stepping in. Oh, I have to do more. Step in and lower ourselves, that we get down on our faces before God and we honor what he's doing. Because if you can see it, you can have it. So Lord, we just call that out. We call it out and we say yes. Let's just say yes and amen. Let's shout it from the mountaintops, yes and amen, yes and amen, yes and amen, yes and amen. If that's you, open your mouth and say yes and amen, because that means something shifts in the heavenlies. So we call everybody out from the north, the south, the east, and the west, in this region, in the northern Cleveland area, as well as Columbus and everything in between. Thank you, Lord. 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 Nothing will stop your fire. Nothing will stop your program. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's going to move every religious bone out of our body. He's going to shake us to the core, because he doesn't want us to miss his move here. We were told by Lou Engel, we were told on Wednesday at a pastors and leaders breakfast, and he said, don't miss your opportunity. He said, God is here, and he's so serious, and he's going to take a look at everything you're doing, everything I'm doing, everything I'm thinking, everything I'm part of, and he's going to say, lay it to me. Give it to me. Lay it down to me. If we said, Jesus, it's about you, that will be so tried and tested between now and July, you can't even imagine it, okay? This has been one of the most intense weeks for me. I can't even tell you. My father should not even be alive. Jesus saved his life. A freedom cry going on. I'm telling you, the Lord is moving, and he is moving strongly. I just brought him back from the hospital instead of a funeral. I'm telling you, God is raising the dead. He's raising the dead. And we heard that at a pastor's breakfast on Wednesday, that he's raising the dead in Ohio. That's what we heard. Steve Witt from Bethel was sharing that. He's saying people were in a new place. So we need to step out. And if we've got an acre, a pain, or whatever, we got to go pray and believe. And God's doing something new. We might see it overseas. He says, you're going to see it here. And it's starting. Oh, and at this, let me tell you, what they heard in the spirit, also Lou and his crew and lots of other intercessors, that there's going to be such a mantle that's released, a Billy Graham, a mantle to go into the highways, the byways, the stadiums, and the evangelistic hall that is out there for anybody who wants to grab and step into it will be yours. I'm telling you, step in. Make your plans for whatever you need to do. He even said, if you've got a vacation, cancel it. Now, if I said that, you'd want to smack me, right? But that's what he said. He said, change it. He said, this is God. God is showing up. And he said, it's not about an event. He said, this is not about me. It's not like whoopee-ding, we got a big stadium thing going on. He said, this is big. This is a very big deal. And it starts in Cleveland. I mean, I'm crying because it's like, God, really? Cleveland? You could have stuck me in some other place, but you put me here. He put us here. This is something really important. He's saying, you're here. This little group, we're here for such a time as this. And I'm crying through this week going, God, I don't get this. I don't understand everything. He's saying, just roll with me, sweetie. Okay? Listen to my beat. Don't you think I'd want to be here this morning after Freedom Cry? The Lord said, well, you go to the hospital. We got this, which is great. You know, I'm fine with that. But I wanted to hear what you all were saying and your testimonies. And he says, you're going to learn in this body how to really be led by the voice of the Lord, the Spirit of God, not what we think we're supposed to do, but what he's really saying and doing above and beyond where we are. And that's what I know you want. I want that more for my life. And don't you guys more? It's like, what are you saying right now? And don't call it the Holy Spirit when it's about us. Don't. That's the dangerous place to be. Don't. Okay? Don't call something. Give us your, you know, not me, but give God your list of your process and then call it the Holy Spirit if it's really not him. That's not a good place to be in this season. I say that as a mom in the house here. Just say, Jesus, I'm laying it down, giving you everything, giving you my, like she said, the schedule. Yeah, you can't give a call like that. Normal. You have to be under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. That's the next generation. That's you guys. That's you guys. And then there's another generation playing outside, you see? And God's saying, I like this house. You're generationally oriented. It's like, wow. I had so many things, you know. I was going to share. I called Andy this morning because I knew God was saying, do this. Sit down for a sec. Go get your dad. Bring him home. He didn't die. I was like, oh, my God. This is big, Jesus. This is not an emotional, wow, dad lived. Yay. Woohoo. I'm telling you. Devil tried to take him out on Thursday. Before Thursday. All last week. But he moved in people, because he says, if you're like me, watch what I do. So my dad's home. I'm not going to go into any of it. You think, well, if it's only 3 days, I mean, it couldn't have been life-threatening. Trust me, it was life-threatening with everything that was going on. Jesus is big. This is the kind of stuff God is going to show us way beyond that. But you know what? With the masses coming in, whoa, you just wouldn't believe the hundreds of thousands of young people as well as older people coming into the kingdom is now. There's going to be such a wave that's released. People are coming to this from around the world. Because Azusa now in California, they had like 70,000 people or something there. Okay? There's only room for 20,000. And they're going to call it Jacob's Field because of what you guys saw. I'm assuming you saw it. I called Andy, wherever you are. I said, Andy, we've got a video from Columbus. Haven't seen it yet, but Lou Engel was on fire on Wednesday night, and his leader said that he was the same way on Tuesday night. We don't have anything from Wednesday night yet. So can you look at this and figure out something for the service today? He says, yeah, sure. Okay, good. That's how you trust one another. I haven't even seen it yet. I said, you know, I just really believe God wants to release that vision about Jacob's Field and Gulliver and all that. And there's more. And we're going to release everything to you guys. When we send it in an email, don't be too busy. Watch it. Don't be too busy. Well, I'll get to it in 3 weeks. We had a massive call on Wednesday. The Lord took Pastor Bill and I up and back to Cleveland twice, okay, when my dad was going through all this stuff. It's like, Jesus, what? For real? He didn't even get to the hospital till Thursday morning. But the Lord said, go. And he was completely stable. And went back and forth twice. It was crazy. It's like existing on supernatural power. It wasn't adrenaline. It was like, Jesus, I can't do this. I'm just a person. And he said, yeah, I know. But this is a challenge. This is one of those times where you run, but you're not running because you're striving. You're not pushing. You're at peace. But it was nuts this whole week. And then yesterday, and I haven't heard anything about what she thought. I'm sure you thought was awesome. But, you know, the effort to put that together this week, thank you. Thank you for those who came. Thank you for those who helped, who served. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I'm sure you've already been thanked, I hope. But thank you. God bless you. Tanya spoke over me. Tanya, you know, spoke over me. She said, this is in Bueller's yesterday at lunch. And she said, God has so raised you guys up. She was talking to me personally with Pastor Bill, which always stems, you know, this is frontline, right? We're a family. She said, I don't think you guys realize what he's doing spiritually with you guys in this region. With all these groups and agencies coming in here and standing in the, it's not just, oh, we're a little church group. There's a spiritual influence that God has given us that he's saying, if you'll believe me, if you'll go really low, you haven't seen anything yet. I mean, people are going to be swept in by the thousands coming into the kingdom after this release. This is all spiritual. So we'll send this stuff to you for you guys to watch, and hopefully you'll catch the vision that the Lord is releasing. He has released that, and I thank God for you. And they want to run with us. I was getting letters from their leaders this week. We want to run with Frontline. You guys want to run with this? I know if I say, yeah, I'm one. That's us. We got to run with this, not just, well, that could be cool. So we changed a mission trip. I was telling, the leaders. I said, well, we were going to Mozambique on this date. We found out about this. We wanted to know earlier. Everybody in the world did, okay? So we're like, okay. But when we found out, the Lord said, change that mission trip. It's like, okay, you're the boss. You're in charge, not me. Not our work schedules. Nothing, honestly. Jesus is bigger than our work schedules. He's bigger than everything. We have to believe it. If we believe it, things will change. Inside of each one of us first. Honestly, I'm just so telling you. I was moved like a rag doll this week, going, wow, man, this is like a huge wave. He goes, you haven't seen anything yet. That's how wild this week has been. Because the momentum in the spirit is intense right now. And we'll be intense too. Oh, man. I love you guys. Thanks for staying late. I know you've been here. Long time, and I'm sure it was all good. And Jamie's going to fill you in on a few things with Azusa now. But when we send this out to you, I actually recorded it on my cell phone on Wednesday night. It was so intense, an hour and 20 minutes. If we can figure out how to get that to you, we can send that. And we can, you know, send the rest of this video too, because we're going to go after it. And as soon as the call opens this up, it could be any day. They told us. They pled with us, and they said, we don't want any of you guys in Ohio who've been laboring for this great end-time harvest in the nation, in Ohio, in your region, that's us, right? He says, we don't want you guys to miss this because you're part of making history. He goes, so get your people to sign up, like now. It's like, okay, well, we'll talk to them about it on Sunday. That's all I can say. Because when they release it, honestly, people are flying in from around the world, and you might not be able to come. It's that simple. That's what they said. It's like, wow. But more than that, we're going to need help, and we are going to have meetings and rallies and stuff like that. So thank you for listening to my heart. I think that's why God brought me back, just for this little window, because I have lots to say about Freedom Cry, but I'm sure it was all said. And you guys were awesome. Don't give up. Don't give up. We're going someplace that's way beyond what we can see. And I'm really excited about it. And I'd love to go with you and do life with you guys. Do kingdom with you. I wouldn't want to be with anybody else. That's the truth. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Like she said, there's only a window for so many people to register. And the call is making that available to Ohioans first. So you would have received two emails actually this week leading you to the flyer and then also the registration site. The first one we sent out was the incorrect web address. The second one was correct, and it says update on the in the subject. So what I'm going to actually have, maybe O'Brien and Terrence, you want to pass these out? These are just, we have more, we have lots more in the foyer. And so you can pass these around. We have more here, so maybe you can share with friends, other friends that go to different churches. We have big banners. We'll decide what to do with those, but you can put them out. Maybe I'll put them out, actually, before we all leave. But Justin, can you pull up something to type in the actual web, the registration? Because I want you to either take a picture of it, just in case you lost your email, you deleted it, or you haven't done it, or you forgot, because a lot of us get lots of emails, and so I don't want you to miss out. So somewhere just really big, where just to type it out, like a Word doc, I don't know, something. But you can. There are 2 days specifically that you need to register for, and the first one is day one, the second day is day two. So just really big, it's A-N, you can write it down, take a picture, lowercase, I don't know if, it, but A-N, Cleveland, day one, period, no, just the number one, period, Eventbrite. Brite.com. Brite. There you go. Cool. And then just right underneath that, you can just copy and paste and put date, put two under day after day instead. Same thing, just two before the period. You can take a picture of it, type in a noun. It's just really quick. Put your name. You can register. You can't register for groups, but you can put, you know, you and your spouse, like I did that for Mike and I. So, and then you'll get a ticket that'll be emailed to you. Save that ticket. Don't let it get lost in your email because you'll need that for when you go to the event or save it in Google Drive or something. And it'll lead you to this site. First name, last name. Yeah, give them just one more moment there, Justin. There you go. This is now. I was wondering what that meant. You're so smart. So, the first day, I believe, gosh, it's not on one of these. It's on the website. It's from like 3 to 10 p.m. And then the next day, it's from 10, what is it? 2 to 10, thank you. It doesn't actually say it on this, which I was wondering why. maybe we'll do a little flyer for Frontline. We can put the day and time on too.
The first time they've ever done something like this is 2 days. Well, because it's Cleveland, it's supposed to wake up the nation. Okay, if you think you've been going through a hard time for recent years or season, count it all joy now because the enemy's tried to stop everybody who had some way of going forward in the spirit, for real. Is like trying to slow people down, sluggish. That's why I was saying, cry out for, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, in some of those areas. Okay, here, James. Here. That was it. Do you guys? How many of those big posters do we have? We grabbed a bunch at this pastors and leaders luncheon, and some of the people there kind of had a little bit of an understanding. I think maybe, of what was going on, and it was good. It was really good. I mean, that was in the morning. We were there. But I think it was new for a lot of people, leaders in northeastern Ohio. But then at night, I sent that email out to you guys. It was last minute, but we didn't even know about it. And that was just off the wall charts. It was like on your face. There were like 700 people there screaming out for Jesus. So that's the video that we're going to send you once it gets, together. Do you guys have any questions about that? So weird to not even just be part of deep, kind of saying, so how is Freedom Cry? It's like we're going to Azusa now. But they asked us to really go after this right away, immediately. So this was as immediate as we could be Sunday. So if you can spread the word.
Quicken Loans Arena, so that's only 20,000 people. It's not Progressive Field, which would be tens of thousands more. So if there were 70,000 at Azusa now in California in a stadium, and they came from all over the world to come there. As soon as they open this up to the world, it's just going to be done. It's going to be filled. 20,000 will go like that. Sounds like a lot to us, but it isn't for this kind of thing.
I mean, really, that's why we're trying to be direct about it. And you know what they'd like is, I'm not Isaac, who's going to give you the reasons and all that. He was awesome last week, but you know Isaac Middleton. But they really were thinking, gosh, if we could have 1,000, at least 1,000 from every church. You know, 1,000 churches given $1,000, they could pay for this thing, like up front. So if anybody is feeling a super tug in their heart, I know we've got missions. We want to buy land in Mozambique. We want to buy another building, you know, in Brazil. I don't know how to do it. I don't have that kind of money. I know people do. I don't. But I know our God does. So if that's touching you somewhere and you're going, okay, I'm linking with this, let us know, would you, honestly? And start, in fact, if you want to sow into this today, that would be really, really good. That was their plea. Just take the message of fire and do something with it. Whether you got $5 or you want to write a check for $1,000, do something today and just put Azusa on it. And that's just taking a step in faith. I wasn't even thinking about that. That just dropped in my spirit just now. That would be a really good thing to do, honestly. We all need to do that. Okay? But gear up for that, and maybe the Lord will give you some creative ideas. I'd love to be, not because, woohoo, we're frontline, but we're on the front lines. Wouldn't it be great to just send them a check for $1,000? We don't have it right now. We don't have that in the till, okay? We just did Freedom Cry. But we're stepping out in faith and trying to listen to him. So, James, do you want to finish? Yeah.
There's 22 of these big guys. So, if you would seriously want to take one of these and hang it up somewhere that people would see it and want to come, you can do that. So I'm going to leave these up here. They're just a little bigger. The smaller cards are back there. If you want more than just one, grab one, grab two, four, five, and take one of these or more if you'd like. God bless you all. She said, have a nice day in the sun.